Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
Panem, tribute, cornucopia, quarter quell. If you understood these seemingly random words, congratulations, this episode is just right for you. Get your hair braided, bake some bread, and sharpen your arrowheads because it's time for us to sing like mockingjays. I'm Amy Patterson.
And I'm Rachel Webb, and we are fangirling over the Hunger Games.
It's the episode you've been waiting for.
My whole life.
I know.
My whole life. Been leading up to this moment.
I know. So we haven't really got a lot of notes for this one because we're just going to wing it.
Yeah, we're just going to wing it.
Because this, look, you could talk for days about the Hunger Games.
Absolutely.
Well, you could, definitely.
I could, most definitely, yes.
But there's so much, like, it's such an interesting world.
It is. Panem, I think that, you know, Suzanne Collins, quite in that same realm of, you know, J.K. Rowling and Tolkien and George R.R. Martin has created a universe that is really, really immersive, super immersive. You know, there's a culture around it and I think that's super cool and super important.
For everyone playing at home, my little dog has decided to join us in the room while we're recording today and is just running around like a spastic. So if you hear little scurrying feet, that's what's happening now.
Yeah. It's super cute though.
He was scratching at the door and we couldn't leave him outside.
Yeah.
So he's currently got his head at a pot plant. Get out of that. All right. We're back on track. Anyway, yeah, so the world similar. Yes, like you were saying, the Harry Potters, the, you know, Lord of the Rings, all of those kind of world setting type series. This is another one of them. And I think it's so different from all of that. Like it's dark and it's also light. And
It's a post-apocalyptic thing.
Yeah, which I love.
But one of the central themes in that series is hope. And I, you know, President Snow is he is a very formidable foe throughout that series, and even he recognizes the importance of hope.
Yeah.
He's a dictator, you know, and it's about the power of the people as well who, you know, he realizes that there's far more of them than there are of those in the capital.
And exactly.
Those, you know, it's the 1%, you know, that elite. And if you give the people hope and, oh, God, it's just powerful stuff.
It is. And, like, the development of Katniss Everdeen throughout the series is, like, it's great.
Yeah.
She always keeps her same sort of, like, personality.
Yeah.
Like she's very cold, very distant, kind of just loves her family and Kale. And then, like, grows to make all these friendships and she's kind of an outsider still.
Lets people into that inner circle that she previously never let anybody into.
Which is really interesting to see because she is like a badass, which we talked about in our Badass Woman
episode. Badass.
And she was and is one of the best lead characters in a book series I've ever read to date.
Yeah, yeah.
She's just brilliant.
She's wonderful. Like she loses her father.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother spirals into this absolute despondent state, which leaves Katniss with the task of looking out for her, you know, little family unit of three. So she's got to feed her mother, herself, her sister Primrose, and even though her mum eventually kind of comes around, she's never quite the same, and Katniss never quite forgives her for checking out for all of that time, which is a big part of her cold kind of exterior.
Yeah, having to always be on constantly, just hunting or selling things at the market or all of that kind of shit.
And it's a whole load of responsibility on the shoulders of a girl who was, what, a 14-ish when that happened,
the first book.
So, yeah, just really, really tragic circumstances. You know, she's in the poorest of the districts as well.
Yeah, that's it. That whole district. Oh, are we okay? We're alive.
Coronavirus, we're good.
The whole segregation of the districts.
Yeah.
That's another super interesting, like, theme of the whole series.
Yeah, what a concept.
Yeah. And I always think, like, when I read a really good book series like that, I'm like, damn. This came out of someone's brain.
Yeah.
Like
how? Like that world exists in somebody's mind. Somebody came up with that, you know, that there are 12 or 13 districts and, you know, you've got – and then you've got this capital and you've got like each district provides a certain thing to the capital and it's just – yeah, it's an incredible world, Panem.
It is. And like even the thought – process behind something like the actual Hunger Games itself and like the challenges that they face and like thinking all of that kind of stuff up. And I was really impressed by the movies and how they portray it. This is probably one of the ones where I love watching the movie. Like I love watching Harry Potter. Like the movies did a good job of the books in this sense. I think the Hunger Games, in my opinion, you may have a different one because I know how much you love the books, did a really good job.
I think they did it. They did a relatively good job. But I still wish, you know, with things like this, if there was more time, if there were more films to stretch
TV
it over,
series.
A TV series would have been fabulous. You know, I would love to see a Game of Thrones-esque situation,
yes,
you know, but concentrating on the Hunger Games. It's only three books, you know.
But they're big books and there's a lot in them.
Yeah, correct. Mm. So to really get the feel for Panem and get a real hold on the stakes.
Yes.
I think that you need to I think they just needed a little bit more time. I love the movies. I will watch them over and over. I will read the books over and over.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be that part of me that's like, oh, but I just wanted imagine. To see more of this. Yeah. You know, I just wanted a little bit more.
Yeah. Just a little bit more oomph.
Yeah, just a little bit more. I remember reading Mockingjay and Primrose's Death.
Oh, my God, that was terrible.
And it just didn't pack as much punch in the movie.
Yeah, that was one we didn't talk about in our worst deaths episode.
Well, I deliberately left it out because I knew we were going to do this episode.
Yeah.
Prim
that was
Roo.
Hard. Oh, Rue. That was terrible.
Rue's death is like a Ned Stark thing for me, you know.
Yeah.
It's like one of those deaths that changes absolutely
everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it like was a catalyst for a lot of the Mockingjay stuff.
Yeah, that's, you know, she decorates her corpse with the flowers, you know, not allowing her body to be taken straight away. You know, she salutes up at the cameras. Then there's that whole, you know, Rue's district saluting back.
And then the riots.
And then there were riots and even through catching fire, Rue's visiting Rue's district and having the speech there and everything and more riots and just incredible. It's incredible stuff. The power of one person's influence.
I think that's a big thing, isn't it? It's like one person. So everybody for years and years had tried to beat this, you know, oppression really. Mm. And then one girl in the Hunger Games was like, you know what?
You know what? Fuck your rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're both going to die and you'll have no victor.
We'll both die, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, I'm like, what if he was just like, yeah, well, let him die. It would have been a great.
Yeah.
Do we think? Okay, well, that's a good question because the movies and books obviously would have ended there because we were like, well, there's no story. Do you think there would have been such an uprising if Katniss Everdeen had not lived and pursued it?
Nah.
Yeah, I agree.
Nah.
They needed her. Like, fuck, what's her name? The one who wanted to. What is her name? At the end, Julianne Moore plays her, shoots her.
Coin.
Yeah.
President Coin.
President Coin.
Yeah.
Like she was onto something there. You needed the Mockingjay.
You needed her. She's a symbol.
Yes.
Until she didn't need her anymore.
She was like, fuck
and
you.
And she was like, yeah, well, the only way that she's going to be of use to me now is if she dies and she becomes a martyr.
Yeah.
It's a killer.
Joke's on you, Coin.
The power of love, baby.
Yeah.
You can send Peter after her. But he's gonna remember he loves her always.
That was sweet. Thanks for singing to me.
You're welcome.
Great. I liked Peter. Let's talk about that dynamic.
Oh, my God.
He's a great person.
The boy with the bread.
The boy with the bread.
The boy with the bread.
He can make me bread any day.
Oh, dude. I am forever in love with that character. Mm. People can say what they want about Josh Hutcherson. I don't really care. Mm. Josh Hutcherson, to me, he's an attractive guy, but I think that the reason why I find him so attractive is because he played Peter.
I agree.
And Peter is just...
What a man. I remember reading the books and being like, Cale, yeah, right, he's really attractive. Because obviously you just make the picture of themselves in your head and I'm like, yeah. You know what, Peter the provider.
You know, he's got those strong arms from lifting those sacks of flour.
Sacks
of flour.
He can paint real good.
Look, he's a creative soul and he's so gentle.
Yes.
This is a gentle, gentle man. He's kind.
Yes.
He has empathy. Mm-hmm. He has a way with words. He has a certain sort of charisma around him. He saw the injustices going on simply in District 12 between that merchant class and the mining class. Yep. He saw one of his classmates who he just thought was the most, you know, enchanting person in the world. Sitting out in the rain, starving, completely devoid of any hope. He was beaten by his mother.
Mm-hmm. Bitch.
But he had deliberately burnt that bread.
Oh, yeah.
So that he could then toss it to her.
He's a thinker. He thinks in advance.
He's a thinker. He's a planner. He's a mover and a shaker. Mm. We love Peter.
It's a bread maker.
Peter Malark.
Yeah, Peter is a great character. I really, really loved him and everything that he brought to the world because it was really harsh. Like the world sucked. Like it was really shitty, especially if you lived in some like District 12.
Yeah.
And he was a little spark of hope. Like you say, it's all about hope.
That dandelion in the spring, like she describes him, that she attributes that to Peter because the day after she got that bread was when she saw the first dandelion and then she knew spring was coming, game would come back, she would be able to hunt again and feed her family, and he gave her that hope and that will to live, and he continues to do so throughout the series.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful symbol of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another one of the things that I really loved about his story is that in that first book, he expresses this desire to not lose himself.
Yes.
And then he does.
Yeah, and that whole real or not real shit.
Oh, my God.
Gets me every time. I'm like, you poor soul.
You poor soul. That was the one thing. He just wanted to retain his sense of self, and he just completely loses his identity. He loses his entire family when District 12 is bombed.
Yep.
He has... Nothing left.
Except Katniss, and he is now bred to hate her and want to kill her.
Correct.
You know? Correct. Like, it's rough. He is a real redemption story, Peter.
Yeah, and he fights to get himself back. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so admirable.
Yeah.
So admirable. You know, Peter Malark, you are an underrated man.
Yeah, we love you, Peter.
We love you, Peter.
On the flip coin. Flip coin?
Flip side.
Flip side of the coin, shall we say. We've got Cale.
Yeah.
Thoughts on him? I can see by your face.
I don't have a lot of thoughts on Mr. Hawthorne.
No. He's that standard sort of space taker, isn't he? He's just like all the other boys, and he's been with her forever.
Forever, yeah.
But he's got some fucked up views.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a dynamic there.
Mm.
He's exactly what she needed when she was in District 12.
Yes. Not when she was the Mockingbird.
They helped each other out. They helped feed each other's families. Mm-hmm. This is something that's not really quite explored in the films, but Gail has this huge family.
Heaps of brothers and sisters.
Yeah, heaps of brothers and sisters. And, you know, they share whatever they hunt and forage and, mm-hmm. and sell and whatnot. You know, they make sure that each of them has enough for their families. I think that's great, you know, and I think that he was a really great influence to ignite a certain amount of fire in her. And it's just like she says at the end, you know, I don't need Gail's fire because I have enough of it myself.
Yeah, that's right. She's created her own now.
Yeah, and I... She will never be able to forgive him for creating the plans with BT that resulted in her sister's death.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to.
Whether or not it was him who gave the order or, you know, whatever, she knows
he was involved.
That he was involved in that. He drew up the plans for that sort of attack, the two-wave attack.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Attack.
Yes.
And there's just no way that she would ever, ever, ever be able to look at him the same again.
Yeah.
Because Primrose was everything to
Absolutely.
Her.
Well, she'd spent her whole life creating this life. Well, she'd spent her whole life trying to create a life for Primrose.
Yeah. Primrose is what started everything.
Yeah.
She wanted to get home to her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter, you know, it's like she will die trying.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
she nearly does.
And that's why she does the thing with the berries. She's not really thinking about Peter.
No.
She's thinking about, I need to get home to Prim.
Yeah. So we need to sort something out quick, smart, and get out of here.
Yeah.
A scene that just came back to me from the movies. And I don't know if this is in the book. I can't remember because, you know, when you read the books and you watch the movies so often, you forget.
It's like it all blends.
Yeah. So the scene where Katniss goes back home after everything's done and Prim is dead and she's killed President Coin, she goes back. To what do they call it? The Champions Village or the
Victor's Village.
Victor's Village.
Yeah.
And the cat is there. So Prim's cat
is
like in the kitchen and Katniss and the cat never got on.
Yeah.
And then it's just like this super emotional
Shout out to you, Buttercup.
Buttercup. It's a super, super emotional theme because literally that cat, because the mother is nowhere to be seen. Right?
Yeah.
She's dealing with her own shit.
Well, she goes actually to District 4 to work in the hospitals.
Yeah. She can't be where Prim was and where they had a life together, which is, you know, fair. I'm surprised I wouldn't have been able to probably go back there. But anyway, so it's just Katniss and the cat and she's like, she's not coming back or whatever she says. And I'm like, oh, damn.
Jennifer Lawrence's performance there.
Oh, yeah. Really good. Like the spit flying everywhere and like just actually super emotional.
Yeah.
She's a good actress.
She's a fantastic actress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have wanted anybody else for her. I know there was like controversy because she's kind of too rounded.
But I think it worked well.
I think, you know what, I don't care that she didn't particularly look underfed, you know. And the descriptions of Katniss in the books of that, actually, she's olive-skinned and very, very thin, very, very small, which Jennifer Lawrence is none of those things, but she is a phenomenal actress.
Yeah, that's right.
And she did encapsulate Katniss.
Yeah, and you can look the part 100%
or
you can look somewhat the part and do a really, really great job.
Yes.
You can be everything and do a shit job.
Oh, look, she can – I wouldn't have cared if they'd have kept her blonde.
Yeah,
you know, well, she did a fantastic job.
Yeah. It was a good – that film – I'm going to watch that again. Do you know what I find when I sit down to watch that? I can't just watch one. I have to watch all
you
of them.
You have to watch them all.
Yeah. Like with Harry Potter, I could sit down and watch just one, I reckon, and be like, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
But I have to watch all three and in order.
Yeah.
I can watch other things out of order. That I have to watch in order.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's a story.
It is a story. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so I had just a couple of things that are like these central themes. So we spoke about hope.
Yep.
We spoke a little bit about fire.
Yes. The girl on fire.
And then there's like this theme of the devastation of war.
Yeah.
And how it all means nothing
and
it all means everything at the same time and it just does not make sense.
No.
you know, and in the end, this poor girl, Katniss, who has done absolutely everything for her sister Primrose, ignites a rebellion mm-hmm. when she didn't – that's not what she was trying to do.
Nope.
And she gets drawn into this role of being a symbol of the rebellion. And yep. she's drawn into a war that she didn't even want to start in the first place. And all she wanted to do was – like live and yeah. be able to take care of her sister, then in which she then loses her sister, and it's what was all for nothing. And now mm. she's there and she's broken and she's scarred and she's got PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
This is what war does.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what truly happens, mm. you know. And I think Suzanne Collins did a fantastic job mm. of illustrating the reality of war.
Absolutely. Because, yeah. you know, war ends.
Yeah.
But does it really?
Not really. Not for the people who are in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why I like this series so much, because it's not – that's not to say that other series aren't not like adult themed, mm. but it's just got these not even hidden themes, but just things that are there, like war. Yeah. Like it's just there. That's what the series is about. It's yeah. happening, which happens in a heap of post-apocalyptic book series or, yeah. You know, whatever. But it's just the fact that you see everything after it's done, and it's not necessarily a happy ending. Like
yeah.
Like she lives and she has a family and she has Peter and all that kind of stuff, but she's still very sad.
Yeah,
like, and it affects her every day.
That's right. They make that point for her to say that, you know, she still has nightmares
mm-hmm.
to this day, and one day she'll explain to her children why she has them and why they'll never go away
mm.
and why her husband, Peter, you know, has to sometimes grip
mm.
the back of a chair because he's fighting those inner demons mm. still,
mm-hmm.
still, and probably forever.
Yep. It's quite confronting. It's
very confronting. Mm. You know, it's like life does go on, but you will forever be affected.
Yep. That's it. I could not even imagine the people who have to deal with it, that kind of thing.
Mm.
They're heroes in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. One other thing we did want to discuss or speculate on,
yes. I guess,
is
there's a new book.
Yes. Which I will devour regardless of whatever it's about.
Okay, so it's called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Oh, dear. Mm. Songbirds and Snakes.
So this is 64 years
mm-hmm.
before
okay.
the Hunger Games takes place. So we're looking at 10 years into the commencement of the Hunger Games.
Yep.
So this is in the dark days.
Yeah, right.
As is described in Panem, which is, you know, the reconstruction of Panem after that failed rebellion by mm. District 13. So now there are the 12 districts who are forced into, you know, the Hunger Games.
Mm.
That would be the 10th year.
Right. So they'll do something interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would that be? The second quarter quell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'd mm. be the second quarter quell. And we'll be able to see are we going to see – is this President Snow still?
Yes. Is it going to be like a double dam
effect? Is it going to be a double dam?
Ooh, it might be.
You know, I don't want to be attracted to President Snow.
No, because he's a piece of shit.
He is a piece of shit. But it does say Songbirds and Snakes, and he is very much there's that illusion of him, the symbolism of the snake
yes.
with President Snow. Yeah, so
that hidden sort of viper type effect.
Mm.
I hope we see a little bit more of the war and the decimation of District 13 and
yes.
all of the effects of that and some flashbacks
and perhaps
maybe.
The reconstruction, the secret reconstruction mm. of District 13 underground
yeah.
led by whomever it was at that point yeah. in time.
So 64 years prior, wow, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and then it's like it's a ballad of the songbirds and snakes. So I'm thinking that perhaps Mockingjays have something to do with it, mm. you know, like because they were created to be spies or,
yeah.
you know, using the Mockingbird and the Jabberjay to
create this.
Wow, I'm really getting into the
yeah. Look, this shit's going to happen.
Background knowledge here.
And then we'll look back on this episode and be like, we knew it.
We knew it.
I wonder, I always love when authors do this kind of thing where they've set this world up so perfectly and you've seen the completion of it, and then they just like, you know what, now we're going to go back 100 years, or we're going to go forward 100 years. And they bring in, when they go back, you never really get the characters that you've already known to love. But if they go forward, you sometimes do.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this.
We might see some people.
Well, maybe like, oh, how old's Haymitch?
Haymitch isn't that old.
Oh, damn.
No, maybe. But we might see like Mags.
Oh, Mags. That's a good point.
Yeah. People like Mags.
And like just those little Easter eggs and that kind of thing.
Yeah, or like parents of people.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know?
And then you know what comes of it.
Yeah.
What else could happen? I'm really intrigued to see what kind of group of people it follows. And I wonder what the world was like before, you know, the war. Like, was everybody super angry at each other still?
What happened?
Yeah. How did it come about?
How did this happen? Like, if she'd have gone back further, I still would have been intrigued.
I would have loved to have seen, like, this is going to be great and I'm all for it. I would have loved to have seen going back to sort of just before the war.
Yeah.
And then like 1 year.
Of the war.
Yeah. Yeah. And then 1 year into the Hunger Games type thing to be like, well, fuck, this is our life now.
But, yeah.
And, you know, that
but
kind
like,
of thing.
But like I'll take 10 years in.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I'll take anything.
We know what happens.
I'm such a whore for it.
We love this shit.
Yeah.
But I'm hopeful we see some of that all unfold. Who else? I reckon President Snow will be in.
I think it'll be like perhaps his rise
to
in politics.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because, you know, there was that talk of him like poisoning people and whatnot, maybe we'll see a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Because it's alluded to that he was like quite a bit younger when he was doing that, and he continued to do it throughout his political rise.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll just see the beginnings of that.
Yeah, it's all very interesting.
He's such an interesting character. I'm scared of him. I hate his guts. Me too. Fuck, I'm intrigued.
Same. I just love this shit when you like can still live in the world but not in the world, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like Fantastic Beasts, but if it were good.
Exactly. Yeah, well, look. Do you know what? We're going off on a tangent here and I don't even know how long this episode is, but you guys can deal with it. I reckon if Fantastic Beasts had been a book series, they would have been able to do it better.
Yeah.
Just purely because they would have had more thought.
Then again,
well, yeah.
Look, curse of child.
I didn't want to even say that blasphemous name.
But oh, my God.
I hate.
Just why?
Look, I've not even read it front to back.
You haven't?
No. I started reading it and I was like.
Are you like rage quit?
Yeah. I was like, I can't read this. Like, what is this?
It's.
How old am I and what am I reading? Maybe I'll try it again later and I won't hate it so much. But
No, you'll still hate it.
I think it came out between the two movies.
Is Fantastic Beasts. And the Harry Potter and the Fantastic Beasts. Yes, it did.
So
it was like filling a void.
Yeah, and it didn't hit the mark.
But it did not hit the mark.
And maybe that's why I hated it so much. Mm. Well, not hated it. I just didn't get on board with it. Like, and there's been tweets and we've spoken about this, about it being canon. And I was like, I refuse.
It's not. I won't.
Anyway, we're off topic, but we could do a whole.
Let's do an episode on it.
Okay, I'll read it.
Okay.
I promise, I do solemnly swear that I will read this book and then we'll review it.
Okay.
And I'll be sad.
We'll also rewatch Lord of the Rings and then talk about it. Okay, Chris, shut up.
Yeah, I need like a month to prepare for that.
Banned.
So keep your ears peeled for a month's time.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do one episode at a time. Just imagine.
Oh, God, I know, I can't.
Chris is living
I'm not
this.
Doing three episodes on it, Chris. Fuck you.
Yeah, when it could all be done in one. We could have just hand-delivered, gone on the Hawks and flown.
Yeah. Why didn't you just send the Eagles? Why?
My favorite thing is when we're off topic again, but my favorite thing is when I see that stuff on like Reddit and it's like, they should have just taken the Eagles. And then somebody like cracks their knuckles and writes and it's like, well, this is why they couldn't. And I'm like,
and it's like, shut up, nerd.
Shut up and let the hobbits get on the Eagle. Oh, dear.
I'm so enraged.
You've killed her.
Yeah.
Anyway, The Hunger Games. I know this is your baby. Is there anything else you want to finish on?
I love Peeta.
Yeah, okay, good. We're going to make you a shirt or a badge. I love Peeta.
I have a Mockingjay pin.
Yeah?
And I have a shirt that I custom made myself for my 30th birthday.
Oh, cute.
And it says, I have plenty of fire myself. What I need is the dandelion in the spring.
Oh, bless.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the fields.
That's right. And then I got my trusty tattoo.
Yes, you
forever
do.
Inked on my body. Peter, I love you. And I have my Pop Funko.
Oh, do you?
I have a Peter.
Oh, I need to get more.
Mm.
We got a lot of Deadpools. I got a Groot. I don't know. We've just got this weird eclectic mix of
I have
shit.
An eclectic mix too. I want a Gendry.
Did you?
No, I won
one. Oh, I thought you said you won.
No, I wish I won one. I wish I won one.
I never win anything while we're on this topic.
Oh, sorry.
I don't win
sorry,
things.
Sorry, fam. I don't win things either.
Although I did draw my own name out of a raffle once.
No, wait. Didn't I? I drew you.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I did. You won shit. Something at Chicks of the Flicks.
Guys, I won a voucher so not planned.
It was not. It no. actually was not. No.
And
I didn't rig it.
I can't remember what I won.
Something.
Yeah. It was a pretty good prize.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. Was I've it? Spent it. Whatever. It was a gift voucher for somewhere.
For somewhere.
I feel like maybe.
Oh, the sauce. Bulk food.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I spent that $50 like you wouldn't believe.
Now we're just chatting about absolutely nothing.
Yeah. All right. That's it. You want us to do an episode of The Hunger Games? We see that and we raise you some random shit.
We raise you chicks at the flicks.
Anyway, all right. That is it for this week. We'll be back with another episode next week. But in the meantime, make sure you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and help support the show.
That's right. And if you want to check out the other great shows on our network, head to ccradio.com.au.
And finally, make sure you join our fangirling fan group on Facebook.
That's it. As always, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Amy.
And we just fangirled.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.